Welcome to Jewish History with Rabbi David Katz, connecting the human side to Jewish history. For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidavidkatz.com.
That's what I've been told. That's the hope.
That's why they were just giving it away during the Prohibition.
Anyway, this year, which is Purim 2024, I figured that will play a little bit of a devil's advocate from previous years. As we know, when it comes to the Megillah, there's a lot of unclarity. Therefore, there are a lot of differing and conflicting views as far as the facts of the story and of the characters. For example, was Esther young or old? Right? I mean, some opinions, Chazal say she was 80 years old, or 75. That can't be literally true. Maybe she had the wisdom of an 80-year-old. The fact that she wasn't a chatterbox indicates that she wasn't some dumb blonde, right? You know, some
dumb green, not a dumb blonde.
Whatever. We'll get to that in a minute. Okay. Reuven, did you open the box?
I see.
Where's another question? Another question relates to whether she...
No. Corkscrew.
It's fine. Another question relates to whether she was the wife of Mordechai.
Yeah.
As we know, Rav Meir in the Gemara says this in the Gemara.
Right.
She was married to Mordechai. And there are several agadotas along these lines in the Gemara, Megillah, such as where it says she was sleeping with both Mordechai and the king at the same time. Although, nobody knows exactly what that means. I saw the Binyan Tzion, the 137, says she didn't sleep with Mordechai prior to the downfall of Haman, which is interesting. So they weren't carrying on at the same time. Oh, that's usually the way they learn that in yeshivas. But imagine she was sleeping with both at the same time, but going to the mikveh in between and practicing birth control, according to the Tosas. So that's based on the idea that they were married. And it's also the one where she says, Kasher avadati avadati, kasher avadati mi beis abba, kon avadati minoch. That, as we all know, when she was in a situation of be'onis, because she was compelled against her will, so then she wasn't usher to Mordechai. But now, after the decree of Haman, when basically they said you got to come on to the king and win him over, so now it's going to be Baratzon, and you'll be usher to Mordechai. On the other hand, this idea that Esther was married to Mordechai doesn't really fit the story, because Esther was taken as one of the besulos, the unmarried ones. They didn't take married women, so why would they take Mordechai's wife, if you go Pashav Shah?
It says they took both.
No, it doesn't. It says the biggest leap in town is the other. Let me finish.
Right. Don't quit your day job.
Just hold on. They didn't take married women, why would they take Mordechai's wife? Remember, this was 7 years before the Haman Purim situation. So in other words, it's not like they knew Haman's coming around the corner, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why would they do so? Now you can answer, right, as I have in the past, as Wolfus just did in the present, they grabbed any pretty girl, whether she was a virgin or not. The Gemara said the king was so plastered he couldn't tell. But again, it's just possible. But it sounds dochic, doesn't it? The Gemara is cynical about this. Vayehava melchus ester mikol hanoshim, vatisochem bechesem mikol habesulos. Right? Amara bikesh litin tam besula tom, tam beula tom. All right, fine. But the Pashup shot is that the king liked her more than the other women. That's what it means. Whether virgins or not virgins in his harem. Not that she was, Esther was anatomically unique. And I was happy to discover the Raavad in Sanhedrin says the same thing in stronger terms. The Raavad says, Umashe chosha bo konu mechein lekocha Mordechai leisha hevel hu. Dr. Bu'ulus hevi l'achashverish. So the Raavad also knows the Gemara. But he said it doesn't make any sense in terms of Pashup Shah because they were taking Kolnar Besulah. Let's think about this for a minute. If the king's agents grabbed married women, then automatically he triggered an ocean of resentment and hatred. No? Mm-hmm. You steal people's wives? Okay?
Take my wife.
And
please.
No.
I got that.
But my daughter's okay?
Yeah, well, that's a different story. It's, I mean, I don't have to go into this in too great detail, but there's a difference.
Al, you have your son leave, please.
Right?
No. I should probably leave, too. Keep it
PG-13. Wait a second. He would instantly have caused himself unnecessary political problems. Now, Ahasuerus does not come across as a political blockhead. You see, from the Gemara Megillah, he had basic common sense. He had 7 advisors who he consulted all the time. That's a sign of being smart. Do not think that this is an unimportant detail in the story. It was not unimportant to Chazal. The Gemara in Megillah says that's where we get Shiva Aliyas on Kriya Satora. Why do you call 7 people after the 7 advisors of Ahasuerus? Right? Yeah, it's on Chaf Gimel. So anyway, you see, it wasn't Pashut. The Gemara, so Ahasuerus was not a political dummy. First of all, now moreover, he understood the first rule of politics. The first rule of politics, of course, is reward your friends and punish your enemies. Because he paraded Mordecai through the streets in royal apparel because he saved his life. He said, something's got to be done, right? And Mordecai, it has to be done. If he saved my life, I've got to do something. And so, even after he agreed to Haman's plan to kill Mordecai and to kill the other Jews a year from now, but still, he saved my life, so you got to give him a parade now. My goodness, the Gemara has a whole soliloquy of the king, which demonstrates his basic political acumen. You know this. The Gemara says, no, why could he not sleep, right? Why couldn't, by the way, as somebody told me, you notice when he was, had, couldn't sleep, they brought him a history book.
Wow.
Right. So it says, the Gemara says this about it. Why did the king fall asleep? I mean, why could he not sleep? Nafli milsa badaite. Because something came to his mind. Oh, thank you. Very
Chaim.
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 I second the
motion.
Anyway, the Gemara says, I don't know. See, I've done this many times. Maybe it's not familiar to you. Nafli milsa badaite. The king couldn't sleep because something was bothering him. Man de Kamon, the Zeminti Esel Haman. How come he only invited Haman? He didn't invite anyone else.
She.
Right?
She only invited him.
Yeah, yeah, Esel Haman. That's right, right, right. Dilma, yeah, you can't get a federal job. Dilma Eitzik HaShakla B'Hu Gavra, maybe Esther and Haman are conspiring to kill me. Hadramer, then he said, isn't there somebody who had informed to me of this plot? Then he said, maybe I have a reputation as an ingrate. Maybe somebody did me a favor and I didn't reward him. All of which is basically true politically. Maybe that's why people hold back from informing me. So he said, that's why he said bring the history book. Is there anybody I have not rewarded? That's basic politics. That's some Baltimore Maryland also. You know, if you have somebody did you a favor and you want them to be here on your side, you better make it worth their while. Anyway, since he wasn't a dumbbell, right? This whole soliloquy indicates he had political acumen. So if he cared off married women, why would he wonder, who's out there that doesn't like me? Everybody doesn't like you, you know? There would be thousands of outraged husbands. On the other hand, you could retort that there are indeed 2 opposing views in Chazal as to whether Ahasuerus was a dummy or a smarty. A chacham or a tipesh. So I guess you could argue, you remember that, right? Did he do the right thing in making a party for the people far away first? Right? One says he was a melch tipesh, one says he was a melch chacham. Because some said he should have secured his own base first. The other one said no. He was sure of them. And anyway, so...
I mean, he had his army there.
Yeah, but you people get overthrown by armies all the time. As a matter of fact, in the Persian Empire, it happened a lot. I apologize. Anyway, so there were 2, I guess you could say that the man dumber who holds Esther was a married woman holds that he was a melch tipesh. And the one who says that she wasn't married to Mordechai holds that Ahasuerus was a smart guy, a melch chacham. And anyway, why didn't Mordechai tell the king that Esther was his wife and prevent her from being taken in the first place, which was many years before Haman showed up? If they thought she's pretty, said, look, she's married. You understand? wasn't Mordechai a member of the royal court? As I mentioned the other day, he was actually, according to Chazal, he was actually one of the generals in the Persian army. Mordechai wasn't a typical rabbi. He was more like a Shmuel Nugget type. Right? That's the story how he got Haman. They're both leading armies. They ran out of food, etc., etc. I mean, your average member of the Sanhedrin, you don't think of, you know, as leading an army or something like that, like Goran or somebody. So anyway, so moreover, how could it not be known that Esther was his wife, if it's true? So much so that her Jewish identity was unknown. And her not, and her unknown Jewish identity was such a crucial factor in the whole story, as we know. I mean, if they were married, it's possible, but it's very dochic to say nobody knew that they're married. Now, as we do, have an agadic mesorah, right? We do have an agadata that Esther was married to Mordechai. But that just means the Rameir in the Gemara is transmitting one of a number of versions of the story that was handed down by Chazal. It's not the only mesorah, it's just one of them. You may not disregard it with contempt, but on the other hand, you're not forced to explain the story only that way. For that reason, a number of Rishonim hold that Esther was not married to Mordechai. They assert this not because of my reasons, that it seems far-fetched or something, but for lamdish considerations. For example, the Baal HaMor answers the famous question of Tosfos, the Rishonim, in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, 9 Dalet. The Gemara says, Esther was, how could Esther do this? It wasn't a case of a Farhesiab, and Farhesiab do Yehar Gval Yavar. Right? So it's a famous question of Rishonim. Why are you asking Esther as a Farhesiab? Why don't you ask Esther as a case of Gilarias, which is one of the big three? That's a teretz to Farhesia. But it's a big machlok is in Rishonim whether that works for Gilarias, as you know. It was a famous sugya, right? And the Baal HaMor, for example, answers, the reason is they don't read Gilarias because she wasn't a married woman. She wasn't married. It says, I'm not makabel that a god has told that she was married to Mordechai. She was a penuya, right? She was not an ish as ish. Here, all the makshin b'gmor Esther Farhesia, havi havi lahakshos Esther Gilarias, havi elakivim that drasha is no mechuvah. It's not clear. Knows it's not a reliable source, right? Now, he tiny is from the Gemara. You see that? That's his argument. Yeah, it's true. So they go into that. And submit. But what exactly is it? That's a whole can of worms, right?
The point is zero. With a can of worms, there's wiggle room.
That's true. But it's that's true.
Okay,
it's a machlokes rishonim. But there are many rishonim who hold what you just said, and many Rishonim who hold not that way. That's my point. They don't hold from that drasha. Kasher avadati, avadati means like this. I'm going to the king against the permission, and if I get killed, I get killed. It's called push-up shot. Nobody's ever heard of it.
Right.
Kasher avadati, avadati. If I go to the king, I'll get killed.
If Esther is Rebetzin, Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he took a married woman, then you also have to accept that no one in the entire Shushan or the entire empire squealed on that.
That's another problem.
That's
right about that. That's true. However, that's true. There is a way around that because there's Shushan and Shushan Abira. And in the imperial compound, they didn't have much to do with the outside. So you could argue, it's possible to argue that. But your point is right. No. If it was in Shushan proper, and if there were Jews walking all over Shushan Abira, then you're right. But it's famous. Ish Yehudi Abishit says, Ish Yehudi Ha'ishab Shushan Abira. There was one Jew in Shushan Abira. Right? Well, because, I'll say it again, we don't understand who Mordechai is. If he was a general and a prime minister and all that kind of stuff, yes, he was a member of Sanhedrin. He wasn't a typical kind of guy. You understand? That's not the regular guy, which is why the others weren't so comfortable with him. Pirshim Menemiktus Sanhedrin. He doesn't fit, the black hat pattern. Anyway, in general, the Baal HaMor goes on to, in his personal interpretation of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, to derive from the Shaka Batari that Gila Reis is unique among the big three, it's Gila Reis, Shmichel, and Bodhisattva, and that a female does not have to do Yehar Gval Yavar if one of two situations are present, either Karka Olam or Hanos Asma. If the non-Jew is forcing somebody, which has happened, unfortunately, in Jewish history a lot, forcing a woman, if he's doing it not for conversionary purposes, but because of his own taivat, anas asmo, that she's not chayav to give up her life. The hetter, that's different than karkolim, right? Now, you have to say karkolim because of parhesia, but maybe not. I don't want to confuse everybody. The hetter of anas asmo would not apply to avodah zarah shvichas damim. You understand that?
Is there still an issur of asur labal asur labo? So could she have?
There's no asur if she's not married. There's no bal or bo.
But if she is married, you can hold karkolim.
So that's a famous Maharik versus Beis Yaakov, and he says, yes, she is Usher. No, Beis Yaakov. She says he is Usher because there's a din of Mala Bomal. It's happened many times in Jewish history. You had a Robin Hood situation where Robin Hood kidnapped a whole bunch of Jews and was going to kill them. And the woman there was able to say, if I seduce him and so forth, we'll get everybody else, they won't get killed.
Does that make their yavish and mums are midaraisa?
No, for sure not. No mums are from a guy. No mums are from a guy.
There's
no mums are from a guy.
He's a kohen.
But the din is, the din is not.
Even if the guy's married?
The guy's married, that doesn't matter. The Jew is the one that's married. That's the problem.
There's no mums are from
a guy. But you see, it's a can of worms, like you say. So anyway,
except according to Rabbi Kiva.
I just want you to know something. There's a Shultz Rabbi Choy. The Shultz Rabbi Choy says that Hanos Asma works for all three. Yeah. It's kind of crazy. That's unusual. Mm-hmm. In other words, imagine a Shvichas Domim case, right? Or a case of Avodah Zarah is not so hard. Shvichas Domim. So if it's Hanos Asma, that's a very far-fetched shita. Anyway. But only Karkolim would work by all three. So Esther was not required to sacrifice her life in resisting the king, because he was doing L'Ana Asasman. The Ramban in the Milchomas Hashem, right there against the Balamor, sharply disagree, and they say only Karkolim works in L'Ana Asasman. Right? That you couldn't have that kind of... The excuse of Queen Esther was she was, anatomically for. She was passive.
Passive.
Yeah, she was just a victim. She didn't do anything. Now, understand, all agree that she was Karkolim. It's just that the reasoning is not the same. According to Balmor, she was Karkolim because it was for Heskia, and not because it was Gil Arias. According to Tosos, it was Karkolim because otherwise it would be a case of Gil Arias. So in other words, the facts of the case are, as they understand it, that she was taken against her will, and she was just subjected for 5 years or 7 years to just to being, violated by a husband all the time. Right? What's he must have been a sick dog not to care about that. That's what it was.
Maybe he didn't know. He couldn't tell.
Because
then
I understand. You take their hand and
yes.
What's Karkolim by Avodah Zarah? It has to be Ratzon.
No, Karkolim is not the Hedrith. It's Hanos Asmo. That's the Shilders.
What's the...
No, there won't be... Karkolim by
Avodah Zarah.
Easy. They pick you up and force you push you down.
It has to be Ratzon by Avodah Zarah.
The Gemara in... I want you to know. The Gemara in Nundalit in Avodah Zarah has that case, and it's a big machlokus over there.
Wait,
it's not pushy because they said, what's the onus of the case?
The whole case
and
with...
Did a guy force you to bow down to your own cow or somebody else's cow? Yeah. Would you make that cow also because it was a neva?
Our case is it's Haman and
Haman. Haman didn't show up yet.
No, I'm saying Haman and Mordechai, meaning he had the idol on his...
We'll talk about that in a second.
So when he was bowing, you could say that he was bowing to something. There was no... Ratzon there.
It's not that's true of any case of Ratzon. But the din is that if you bow down to a regular idol, to a Nevad, you're chayiv even if you don't have Ratzon. Right? Unless the case of Onis, maybe. All these are fair questions. Anyway, the bottom line is, let's go with a non-married Esther being taken to the king. The whole situation, of course, is Onis, which is why she ate bacon, right? The Gemara says that she ate treif for all these years, katli de chaziri. It's a machlok, is right here. The other shot is that she ate vegetables. Now, how could she hide her identity by saying, I want to eat vegetables?
Vegetarian.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think so.
In America, it's not so hard to get
close. I don't think so.
They didn't have
a yeah, right. That's true. The whole situation, case of Anessa, she ate bacon. On the other hand, she could have told him she's Jewish and gotten kosher food. It was only because she kept her identity secret after orders of Mordechai that she had to eat treif, and she ate treif for 7 years, if not longer. Isn't it strange? And is that really a case of Yavar Val Yehoret? No. You go eat pray for 7 years? When you could get out of it by saying you're Jewish?
I want to ask you, was chicken already flaky?
Oh, God. Let's say it wasn't.
Chicken.
She ate fish
on Monday, and she eats chicken on
Monday. She ate bacon.
It said she ate bacon.
How are you going to get around that?
It's brought down that a shtadlan b'chatzar ha-melech is allowed. The Rambam says he's allowed b'chadli b'chazirah.
If a soldier...
A soldier, and also somebody who has to work with the malchus from the Malman Klal Yisrael.
Does he say Kadr Chaziri?
Yes.
I remember that. Not to see that. I wish I remembered it.
Should you quote it?
Rambam.
Moreover, I don't remember it. Moreover, isn't trey food metamtim is a lev? Does it mess you up mentally?
No, only if you do it in a bear.
Didn't she need that? That's not so simple.
That's not true. Mashal says not like that.
That's right. It's not pushing.
Mashal says not like that.
That's right.
She's doing everything in the past to Mordechai.
Wait a second.
What's it called? Even though you're allowed to give the kids the what?
It's going to be Matam to Salev anyway.
But you still shouldn't do it because it came from
Malay.
This is the famous story. That's the famous story of this guy.
Who's that?
Right? Kleisenberger Rebbe.
Yeah.
But he was in a concentration camp for a year. So he told everybody else you could eat treif, but he didn't eat treif. So he said, how come you talk about it? Alpidin, you can do it. No question about it. So how come you didn't do it? Because he ate potatoes and junk like that. And he said, not because I'm so frum, because you can't have timtum aleph. The concentration camp, you have to everything, wrong decision can cost your life. Like they say, who wants to go to this work detail? Maybe it's a trap to shoot you. You get what I'm saying? All kind of stuff like that. So you got to stay sharp. He said, that's the reason he did it. Right?
Because he was the leader, so he could tell the other
okay,
people.
Okay, whatever. I'm just saying, the concept of timtum aleph is there. It just occurred to me this year. Didn't Esther need to have good judgment all the time in her delicate situation? Mm-hmm. Right? It's surprising that she would eat treif. Right? I suppose, this is the meaning when it says, Ain Esther, Magenis Amovis, Molada Talk, Asher Tzivola, Mos Mordechai, Ves Ma'amar, Mordechai, Esther Oso, Kasher Oso, Be Omito. She said, I'm going to go totally by Mordechai.
Right.
Because he doesn't have Tim's on the
way. Right.
You see?
There you go.
Right. Since she obeyed Mordechai and hid her identity, she had to eat treif and clatter judgment. She had to totally rely on the judgment of Mordechai, who ain't only kosher, and Mordechai constantly hung around the palace. You see? Because b'chol yom b'yom Mordechai is halech lefnei chatzar based on Hashem. L'odase, shlom aster, ma'i aser bo. He always wondered what's doing with Esther, because he needed to. He knew her situation. She got to eat treif. Think about this. Hey, she ate treif for years. Okay? You couldn't tell anybody you're Jewish.
But she had somebody in the palace who knew that she was Ms. Yachas to Mordechai. It was Hasach.
That's if you go with the Medrash that Hasach was Daniel or something like that. The regular Pshat and Hasach is some servant.
No, he's just saying that Hasach had to know
they carried messages back and forth.
Yeah, so he knows that there were some shaykhs.
Wait a second. You can carry a sealed message. You don't know. In the story of Purim, he told her.
It says, he said Hasach.
What? On the occasion of Haman's decree. Not all the time. And second of all, we don't know how long Hasach was there. There's all kinds of theories who's Hasach. I know some say it's Daniel, some say it's not. It doesn't make a difference. Anyway, the bottom line is, here is Esther and her 7 BJJ girls, because she had 7 Naros, who were formerly the girls that were chosen by Vashti to torture, remember? Vashti made him work on Shabbos, work naked, eat treif. She was sadistic, you know what I mean? She was sadistic. We did this a couple years ago, right? That's a whole story by itself. And then Vashti dies. And he's like, who's going to take her place? I don't know. And then some girl shows up who's not Jewish officially, but they said there's something about her, you know what I mean? Like, Did you go to Sar Shneir, you know? Something like that. No, by the time it's over, Esther and them are very tight because she says, Gama Niva Narosai. What?
Otsum Kane.
Otsum Kane, not Tsum. You notice that? I will fast, not we will fast. Meaning they're all one group. You had a little Jewish enclave. Anyway, here's Esther and her seven BJJ girls eating treif all these years because she's supposed to hide her true identity. I think this is, in fact, why no one suspected her being Jewish. I mean, the king, or Haman, knew she was eating chazer, so she can't be Jewish. So the bacon was an integral part of the strategy, right? Which is interesting. This may be why Mordecai incorrectly suspects Esther of chickening out. Don't think you're going to escape this decree of Haman by hiding out. Why would he even think that way? Listen, she's eating treif all the time.
He told her to eat treif.
I know that, but like he said, doesn't matter. You know, next thing you know, that's how you're thinking. Now, it wasn't true, but you can understand why Mordecai thought that way.
She said she wasn't going to go.
What?
She said she wanted to get involved.
No, she didn't say she wanted to get involved. She didn't say she wanted to get involved. She just said anybody who goes to the king gets killed.
It was pointless.
She didn't say she wanted to get involved. And as a matter of fact, she went to the king.
After he said that.
Yeah, I'm just saying, her whole language, her whole shot is like this. She doesn't have the right outlook. Now, it was wrong. What he said was wrong. We know that. But you can understand where he's coming from. And anyway, I mean, maybe your judgment, in other words, is clouded by all the treif food that you've been eating. Also, this may be why Esther invites the king and Haman to a mishteh, not to a suda. Because if a mishteh, there's no food. It's all booze.
Yeah, but see, Anessa.
What's that?
See, Anessa.
Hey, that's whole Shiloh too. See, Anessa at that time, as you know very well, did O'Neill include it? Someone, I did that once long ago. And first of all, it's not Yainessa.
Stamienim.
All right, Stamienim.
Well, there's a big difference between
Yainessa. No, I know that. I know that, but you know.
Yeah, but only if you use it in an idolatry sacrifice. If somebody's an idolater touches wine, that doesn't mean use it in a sacrifice.
No, but if it's dedicated for using in the sacrifice.
Yeah, that's right. Wait a minute. Well, hold on for a second. Esther's throwing the party. She's providing the wine. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so she bought.
But she's not providing the bacon.
Well, maybe she boiled the wine then.
I didn't say that.
So, Rabbi, is the idea that the amount of lack of clarity that comes from the wine is going to,
you have to close your eyes.
Make the Matalim Aleiv insignificant? Because everyone's drunk. So it doesn't matter. Oh, yeah. It's a bacon.
Well, that's an earthy part. Yeah.
What is the concern? Going to marry Goyim?
There's two reasons. One is that they're against any kind of anything touched by a god because it relates to, even though they didn't use Avodah Zarah, it relates to that. And the other one's chasnas.
Okay, well, she's already chasna
gahat. You're right about that. Yeah, I'm saying, so it wasn't that.
For the children's chasna.
Huh? Yeah, right, okay. Everybody was drinking booze, according to him. All the time. All the time. Chaim Soloveitchik doesn't talk about the Persian Empire, though.
he has this whole thing about how it's like a natural part of business to always be monogamous.
And... In what he called in medieval times, right? I don't think he's talking about the Bible. He's talking about the Persians.
He's saying from Talmudic times.
I don't think so.
That they were just constantly being monastic.
He's from Boston.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, okay.
Like as you go, like what do you call it? Like a guy crosses himself.
Yeah.
They were just monastic. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, all right. Maybe. Anyway, the point is. By the way, this also fits in with a very interesting grog. Which I never saw till this year. I never noticed it. We all know that Esther is described as being ugly and not pretty.
Right?
Just with some pixie dust. It's a chut shel chesed. God made it that you. Okay? She's called in the Gemara Yirach Rokes, which means a yuch. Right? But why? But the Vilna Gaon says like this. Where do you get that from? The Megillah says she was Yafas Torah V'Tovas Maran.
Right.
You know, like, where would you come up with that from? Okay? What kind of a word is this Yirach Rokes description? That's a good question on the part of Vilna Gaon. Okay? And he answers like this. She started out as beautiful, but the palace life, with the king's constant bothering her, had the daily pork meals, depressed her and ruined her looks.
It happens.
Right? She's Yirach Rokes. In other words, that's a tribute. Not a diss. You understand? In other words, she started out Yifas Tova Tova's Marat, but she ended up a Yirach Rokes. But the king was still into her because her divinely, you know, Kutshel Chesed, Moshe Galah, and so on and so forth. This is very interesting. Yirach Ruchus doesn't, it's not what you think.
Sella.
Right? It's a reflection of the terrible strain she was under for many years. Mm. It's hard to live a life of Esther. We don't understand this. I tell you, Esther is a big hero, and people don't appreciate the serious side of it. If you think about this mystically, Esther's suffering over the food she ate, and mind you, she was getting good food. She's a queen, mm-hmm. right? She got good food, but it's not kosher. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you go years and years after this, you get used to just eating tray food. She never got used to it.
Well,
that's what killed her looks. Esther's suffering over the food she ate at the palace was this was a tikkun for the great sin of the Jewish people, as the Talmidim of Shimon Yochai said. I told you, Mr. Goldberg.
We're getting Kabbalistic now.
No, we're not.
Right.
Why did the rush across the street? So anyway, as the students of Shimon Yochai said to him, remember, he said, what was the big sin? So one is Nanu Misudosel Shalach Hashverish. The other one is Shtachol Etzom. That's what he said. But they said, they almost got killed because they did the big sin because Nanu, they had Anot, the Sud of Achashverish. In other words, the big sin, which almost got him killed, was not the eating at the party, because the food was kosher, if he goes, Lasa Skirtzon Ish V'ish. The Medrash said that there were two people in charge of the food, Mordechai and Haman. So Mordechai was in charge of the kosher food, Haman was in charge of the not kosher food.
Starkey approved.
No, Starkey doesn't approve that. Right? I don't think the OU does either ever since 1938.
No.
CRC
if you remember the ship, myself, back in 1988.
Well, but I mean, am I wrong? Isn't it a policy that you can't have, like, it's, for a long time it's been a policy, you can't have, like, one
a kosher
deli
section.
With a kosher section and trade section?
Yeah, but the Starkey originally allowed that.
Oh, they did? Okay, but well, then they got their comeuppance.
Right. On the boat, right?
Yeah. Everybody knows the boat.
No, they don't. They're just saying it.
The young people don't know about it. It's 30.
In other words, the great sin, which almost got him killed, was not the eating at the party, but, right, which the food was kosher. Or maybe you could say if it wasn't kosher, but they had to eat, because it was an onus, it was the king's party and everything
so
like that.
Happened before you were born. Because
the party says, you know, there was a Hanos Asmo. I mean, the party was Hanos Asmo. It's a Harosas Osha Kvod Malchuso Vesi Kartifelis Gudoso. He was like Trump. He was showing off. You see, I mean, the whole point of the party was to show off.
Everyone does that.
Yeah, but not in Trump style.
that part's true.
In other words, the king was the first Gilgal of Trump. But they didn't have to.
With the comb over also? The gemach?
But they didn't have to enjoy it. That was the point. Nanu Mesudosh HaKashver. That was a big sin.
They also used the kalim of the Beis Hamikdash.
Yeah, that's also true, but the Pashup Shad is not, right? Pashup Shad is they didn't use
kalim. The kalim shonim.
Kalim shonim means nice vessels.
Well, yeah, I know, but the darshan there means that he used the kalim
so
of the Beis
I'm trying to work myself through the swamp of all competing. Because you have so many competing chazals.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
I'm trying to present a narrative. At least I'm trying to.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, the big sin was enjoying it. Esther, by contrast, is the antithesis of what I just said. She went 7 years low in the Sudosa Shosha Russia. Right?
Mm-hmm.
She got, every time she had to eat, and you have to eat, every time she had to eat, she got depressed.
Mm-hmm.
See?
So the Jews would have been better off eating the treif and not having enough.
But they didn't.
Well.
No, I didn't say that. That's different. That's different. It's not so pushing.
I'm sure Mordechai did not go to
that. That's the famous question of David and Bathsheba. Did you do something wrong or not? The Maral says, if you give somebody, I go to him and I say, here's a ham sandwich, and eat it. He says, I don't care, I'll eat it, and eats it. And then it turns out, I fooled you. It wasn't a ham sandwich. It was a kosher sandwich. Did you do an aveir or not?
Hashem yislach
lah. It's not whether you had in mind to be
going in. He thought it was him.
That's the famous Maral on David and Bathsheba. Because when he first did it with her, the husband wasn't dead. But later, by the time the story's over, the husband is dead and she's retroactively divorced. But you didn't know that at the time. On the other hand, technically speaking, you didn't do a sin. Right? Technically speaking, you didn't do a sin. If I shot at somebody and had blanks, but I intended to kill you, it's not actionable.
Except Bidei Shemaya, which is exactly what the Navi was saying with David.
Actionable doesn't mean Bidei Shemaya. Actionable means in court.
How do we know that Mordechai did not write her a get when the king took her?
Right, so Tosis asked that question. Tosis says because he didn't because he was afraid of the coal.
Of course, it was a coal. Coal, right. Of course. Okay.
There's what to say on that also, but we've done that in the past. But the Nota Behuda and everything. Yeah, the Rajwa and everything. But Tosis asked that question. It's an obvious question. But remember, according to this, according to the narrative that I'm constructing this year, from the different Rishonim, she wasn't married. We don't need to get.
All right, we'll go with your Mahalach.
Right. That's a Balamor, it's a Ramban. You know. Anyway, that was a big sin. Esther, by contrast, was given the best food for years and ate every moment of it. In fact, it made her sick. It ruined her looks. So she was Mesaka, the sin of Klal Yisrael. She was the savior, if you go with that Mahalach. Right? On the other hand, that's if you go with the students of Rashbi, who say the sin was eating at the party. If you go with Rashbi himself, Shimon Yochai himself, the sin was Hishtachul itself, they bowed down to the idol. Then the person who was Mesakin, that was Mordechai. So if you have a question, who's the hero? It depends. If you go with the students, she's the hero. If you go with the Rebbe, with Shimon Yochai, he's the hero. Because he wouldn't bow down. You understand? Mm-hmm. Despite the severe criticism of the Chachamim, you know, the Gemara says, Knesset Yisrael, Omer Lidach Gisop, Masli Yehudi, Mashilim Yemini, Masli Yehudi, Lokotu, Double Shimim, Yisiali Mordechai, Demikne Bihaman. Right? We saved. Was it Shimi? Eventually came Mordechai. Mordechai caused all, you could say, Mordechai caused all trouble by not buying the Haman. I wasn't doing anything to anybody until then. So the debate between Rashbi and the students is a debate of who's the real hero, Purim, the woman or the man. No, there's Pharaoh. bottom line is Yirach Rokas. To say she was Yirach Rokas, if you go like the Grot, is a compliment, not a diss. He was Esther, queen of Persia, being treated royally, getting the best food around, the best accommodations, and hating every minute of it. Hating every minute of it. She was a real Beis Yaakov girl. If you think about it in Lumdish terms, I think, the difference between Esther and Klal Yisrael can be defined in the following terms. Is Yehar Gval Yavar a Hutra or a Dechuya? Right? Meaning, onus as such, notice, forcibly converting people to another religion, was new to Jewish experience. They had not been forced during the entire First Temple period, as far as I know. You look at the Tanakh in the Book of Shoftim, Shmuel and Malachim, there's no case of onus, per se. There are wars, there are massacres, but there's no case where some non-Jewish person tried to force a Jewish person to violate their religion. Right? The first recorded case of onus I can think of are three. The statue of Nebuchadnezzar, the party of Achashverosh, and the bowing to Haman. Right?
What's around this time? Nevat, he made the golem and so forth. And
he didn't force anybody. It's not recorded.
He didn't allow them to go to the Beis HaMikdash.
He didn't allow them to go to the Beis HaMikdash, but don't say he forced them all to go worship Avodah Zarah.
What about Amram?
What? That's in the time of Nebuchadnezzar.
What about Hanukkah? The nation, the seven nations.
That's after all. That happened long after Purim. Yeah. I said the first time. You don't find in the Bible, until you get to the Second Temple, actually before the Second Temple, to get Nebuchadnezzar and Achashverosh, the idea of onus, meaning religious coercion, as we know. My point is that the entire Messias of Yehar Gval Yavar, Yavar Yehar, was never a Shaila Maisa until the Babylonian-Persian era, if you think about it. Never came up, Avodah Zarah as Yehar Gval Yavar or something like that. They never forced the Jews to worship Baal. Listen, Jews on their own, I'm sorry to say, the Bais Rishon, there are plenty of Avodah Zarah. Nobody made him do it. It pains me to say nobody made him do it.
The oldest Jewish pastime.
What? Say what you want.
The oldest Jewish pastime.
What is?
Avodah Zarah.
Okay. That's not the oldest Geisha pastime.
Oh.
Anyway, the whole Shiloh of what you heard about Yavar has never popped up in Jewish history until then. So don't be surprised if there are differing attitudes towards it. It's not crazy to think that if you find yourself in a situation of onus, and therefore in a situation of Yahweh while you heard, no, it's not the big three. That's Hutra, it's 100% okay to eat trade food without any guilt feelings. It's okay to be Nanami Sudas Osharasha. What's wrong? You find yourself in it. Listen, a person could say, oh yes, I didn't ask to be in Auschwitz. I didn't ask to be in Dachau. I'm putting over here. I'm eating whatever I got. And I don't have to feel guilty about it. I'm saying, you know, like I said before, I didn't put myself in this situation. You understand? You could hear that.
Whether or not you can even be arguing on things that are not from the...
Hold on. After all, isn't it true that according to the Rambam, when the din is Yavar Val Yahar, it's also to the Yahar Val Yavar? Right? The Rambam says, if you're allowed to eat the treif, it's also to perish rather than eat the treif. Right? You know, Tosis, by the way, I mean, there's others, opinions.
Unless there could be a Kiddush Shem Shemayim.
Not the Rambam, the other, that's Tosis and the Muki Yosef and all that stuff.
If it's Lahavir also,
I'll say it again, that's not the Rambam, right? That's the other Rishonim. First of all, the other Rishonim had to say that.
Yeah.
I'm asking you a historic question. Why did Tosis, living in the 1100s, have to say it's okay to be hard while Yabar even if you don't have to?
Because they did it.
Yeah, because in Crusades, everybody committed suicide. You know? They can't say, oh, yes. Oops, I guess they were all wrong.
But didn't it make a difference between Shas HaShmad and No?
Yes. Not exactly. It depends. For suicide, I'm saying.
Right, I thought that was Badafka, you know.
That's a good point. I mean, Crusades was a Shas HaShmad. That's a good point. He's right about that. Doesn't that seem to imply anyway... Then you have a case of Yavar Val Yahorik, you're doing nothing wrong at all, it's fine. So it's not surprising that if they felt that they have to attend the king's party, because the king will get angry if they don't, like Trump. They said, as long as you're here, might as well enjoy it. What's wrong with that? How do you know not? Okay? How do you know not? Same thing for bowing down, by the way. I mean, if Nebuchadnezzar and Haman, here's the question. When Nebuchadnezzar said, bow down to the statue, and Haman said, bow down to me. Was that a case of a Shas HaShmad where there's a campaign to convert the Jews to paganism? Doesn't seem so. Nebuchadnezzar did not launch a campaign with the golden statue I'm talking about, Bikas Dura. He said, campaign against Judaism? I mean, Nebuchadnezzar's highest officials were Orthodox Jews. If you go by the Book of Daniel, it's a little bit weird. Who was the prime minister above all at the time the base of Israel was destroyed? If you do the numbers,
wasn't me.
Right. It was Wolfish. No.
Right. Again, I named in front of the paparazzi.
It was Daniel.
Daniel.
Yeah. If you do the numbers, because they were taken 10 years earlier before, and so
but
it's
he tried to force them to bow to the idol.
Not Daniel, by the way.
Daniel. But
hold on for a second. No, they didn't present themselves. They didn't hide themselves. Actually, if you want to get down to it, the Gemara says the king. Well, this just reinforces it. There's a story, for those who don't know, in the Old Testament.
The Old Testament, not the New. How many do we have anyway?
You'd be surprised. there's a story in the Old Testament. There's a story in the Old Testament that Nebuchadnezzar, at one point, after he appointed Daniel and these other guys who were Shomer Shabbos to be high officials in his government, okay? Because they aced the SAT test.
They were smart.
There's a testament to Nebuchadnezzar that he actually had a standardized test to begin with.
Wait a second. So it says that at one point he sets up this big golden statue in the Valley of Dura. He said everybody has to bow down to it.
When the music played.
Everybody has to bow down to it. Now, Daniel's not there. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah are there. They're trying to just be inconspicuous in the back, not bow down without calling any attention to themselves. No. Some anti-Semites said to the king publicly,
they're not bowing down.
Look at these three guys, they're not bowing down. That's like a...
Free Palestine from the sea to the ocean.
No. It's going to the principal of a high school in front of everybody and saying, these guys didn't come to Minchor, they didn't daven. He's got to do something.
The king has to do something at that point.
I'm saying, you do it like that.
Yeah.
He did it publicly, you know? So the king says to them, by the way, you know, you better bow down or else, and, you know, he ends up throwing the rope. Where was Daniel in all this? So the Gemara says, not me.
No.
The Gemara says, the king thought about Daniel, but not Mechanon Shazai, because he was the top dog and they were underneath. Before this ceremony of the Valley of Dura, he said to Daniel, go count the animals in Egypt. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, he wanted to get him out of the problem.
No, he knew. Yeah. He didn't want to lose him. You get it? He said, Lord have mercy, he forgot about the other three.
That's what it says. Hamisho Azayin asked Yecheskel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can you save us? And the answer was no.
I'll say it again. The king wasn't out to get them. Moreover, it's not a Shas Hashmad for a very basic reason. If you want to get technical about it. One of the definitions of basic, one of the fundamental definitions of Shas Hashmad from the Rishonim is, has to be against the Jews. If it's everybody, it's not a Shas Hashmad. Had done a Shas Hashmad.
By the way, if you
he said say, everybody has to bow down.
If you can say Shas Hashmad clearly, then you have not drunk enough.
I didn't say I was drunk. He says.
So then you don't have an option? You have to do so?
For not being drunk?
Wait, wait.
For not bowing down, he would have to do so.
Well, they said, it's possible they could have gotten out in certain ways, but they said on purpose, we're not afraid to answer you that we're not going to bow down.
So they killed him, right?
No.
So they threw him in a furnace and they had a miracle.
They had a miracle.
The story you know about Avraham Avinu.
Happened over here again.
Yeah.
That's the Slichos, right?
The
Slichos have talked about that. Kipshan,
Yes, yes, they do.
I thought that the Bedavia was the three of them together, Rebel Joe, but if they'd been asked individually, then they.
No, what the Gemara says, if they would have been tortured, they would have given it.
They would have bowed if they had been tortured.
That's natural. Very few people, I mean, if you get tortured. Exactly. If they would have tortured them, it's a different story. They said, we'll kill you. You know, I mean. Anyway, he set up an idol. First of all, according to half to Rishonin, he set up the idol as an ego thing, as a Trump thing. Okay? That's
always with the Trump. Are you a Democrat? Is that the problem?
So it was a picture of himself, the idol?
This is it's not clear, but I'll say it again. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the Abarbanel, the Alshach, and the Malbim, check out the R-School, Daniel, page 112. Right? If you go to them, it wasn't an idol momish, right? It was an ego thing, okay?
So in that case, they're allowed to, maybe.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Nevertheless, in spite of what you just said, they chose to do this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My point is, it wasn't a case of Yehargvel Yavar, really.
Necessarily.
Right. But it wasn't a case of Yehargvel Yavar because it wasn't Avodah Zarah, okay? Same thing with Haman. Did Haman, here's a little more clear, less clear. Did Haman claim divinity?
No.
I know it says, call Avdei HaMelech Kar Mishtachel Haman. Did he claim divinity? Or was it a Donald Trump thing? The truth is...
What is this obsession?
It works, don't worry, it works.
Narcissism.
The truth is, there are different opinions. There are different opinions about this in the Gemara. One opinion is that he was a Nevad. So he declared himself a deity. But what does it mean? That's weird. Never means he was served. What does that mean?
Haman.
I know, I'm saying over Achashverosh.
So that's exactly my question.
How is that possible?
That's the question. The king himself was no deity. The king was a Zoroastrian. Okay?
Right.
No one worshipped Achashverosh. Now you're telling me, but he said, but my prime minister is a god? Doesn't make any sense. Okay? And the king commanded everyone to worship him as a god? That's what you understand. Kor Mishachim Haman. Mamash is a god? For that's the meaning of Kor Mishachim according to Mishach. Doesn't make sense, okay? And to tell you the truth, the Marsha says, I found the Marsha in Sanhedrin, where he says, the Marsha Mikro, the Hanan Marsha Azari lo yishtachavu, al shar yishtachavu. The only people who didn't bow down Nebuchadnezzar, hear me out, the only people who didn't bow down Nebuchadnezzar's statue were the big three, Hanan Marsha Azari. But all the other rabbis did. Moshe Feinstein, Rav Kook, that's what it means.
He wasn't born yet, I know that.
The Gilgul. You know, oh, okay. He said, all the big rabbis bowed down to him. Below Nichalu Lefarshit Hishtachul Haman, the Masha Mordechai Hishtachul Ashar Hishtachul Haman. Why? Why did they ask from the case of Haman? The Masha says, the Haman Loa Soa Loa, Haman didn't really make himself a god. El Hamelach Sibul Hishtachul Mea Kovin. So there is that interpretation of Haman. Right?
That's why the Gemara says that he created this necklace. That
Hold on. I'm just saying it's not as pusha as you think. That's what I'm saying. Now, indeed, there's another opinion that he wore an idol on his breast. So if you bow down, you bow to the idol. Meaning, according to that, right. Haman was not declaring himself a god.
Right.
Right. If he's wearing an idol on the breast, that's the idol. Okay? Mordechai Eliyahu, the chief rabbi, I know where he gets it from. He said Haman wore the idol. You know, in here. But I don't think that makes sense. According
why did he say that? What's he trying to accomplish?
I don't remember, but I saw he said...
in that case, you're not supposed to, how are you supposed to know? I'm saying if you bow down to him.
It's a famous... There's a whole thing in your day, if you were interested. If you look in across, Shesiv Eruv, you know? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times... No. In the old days, in Middle Ages... In the Middle Ages, if a king or a prince or a duke something passed by, you had to go like this. He's wearing a...
Even the army had to salute him.
No, I'm just saying... But he's wearing a cross. What do you do with Chesed
Erev? It wasn't a crucifix. It was a cross.
Well...
Without the Yashke. Only the only ones wearing crucifix.
There's a famous Trumas Hadeshin who says that he had a good duke. And when he... Remember this? And when a Jew would come to him, the Duke would go like this. No, because he knew the Jew had trouble bowing down today.
Right. It's like you go to Good Samaritan Hospital. You're allowed to take the cross down from the and put it in the drawer.
That's why the book behaved himself, right? The whole story.
What?
That's why the book behaved himself in school.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. It was clearly Haman. How can Haman be so bothered by the fact that Mordechai didn't bow down to this amulet that he had? It was clearly, by the words you can see, he's obviously bothered from a covered perspective.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Yeah, but in other words, the point is that he said like this, I'm going to fool Mordechai by having this on here and have bow down to me. So he knew the real reason Mordechai's not bowing down, even though technically it's to the cross, really he's not bowing down to you.
And he wouldn't stand.
Remember, because they knew each other from the past.
Yeah.
You know. Well, he was his barber, right? Was that a barber?
I mean, whatever. Not his barber. It's he was a... A slave of his.
He was a slave.
Of an Eben Ibrahim. No, Eben Kanaim.
It'd turn his thigh to him. He'd flash him, right?
It was Eben Kanaim. Hold on for a second. I can't get through this. According to that opinion, Haman was not a god and did not claim to be, if he wore an idol on his breast.
Yeah.
The royal command to bow down to him was just a sign of great honor bestowed on Haman by the king. The reason Mordechai did not bow down was the idol on the breast, not because Haman claimed to have divine powers. I'm just trying to say, it's not a typical case of Yehard Bal-Yawar, of Avodah Zarah. Moreover, Haman was not seen outside the royal compound in Shushan Abira. Not Shushan, right? Haman was in Shushan Abira. As many explain, like Abishas, Mordechai was the only Jew in Shushan Abira. What's the famous Chazal? Ish Yehudi Hayim Shushan Abira, Ish Yechidi.
Mm-hmm.
Yehudi the Yechidi.
Is there a special like that says Ish Yechidi?
Yes, Yechidi. So he says... See, he was the only Jew to actually encounter Haman. By the way, if this is true, it wasn't even for Hesia, because you need 10 Jews. Okay?
Yeah.
Had to be 10 Jews. Remember, the whole thing happened within a very short time span. We're talking a few days. All right? So the refusal to bow down was not like Esther sleeping with the king, which happened over many years. That's why Haman is called a Farhesia in the Gemara. Right? Now, I'm sorry. That's why Esther, I said it wrong, that's why Esther is called Farhesia in the Gemara. Because for many, many years, the news got out. According to many, the Jews were angry at Mordechai for ostentatiously going out of his way to flaunt his non-bowing to Haman, which led to Haman's move to exterminate Klal Yisrael.
Right.
They said, the Medrash says, that the Klal Yisrael said to Haman, to Mordechai, Amr lo, Hevi Yodea, Hevi Yodea, She'odem apilenu b'charbo. I'm sorry, I read it wrong.
Say again, please.
Hevi Yodea, She'odem apilenu b'charbo. That you were causing us to fall to the sword of Haman by refusing, ostentatious refusal by them. It was ostentatious because he could have hid.
Hung out at the palace just to show
them. Yeah, right.
Well, I was saying, but that's why the second letter they said.
Mordechai answered that it was a case of Odezar. But that doesn't mean they conceded the point.
Right.
He was endangering them for metaphysical reasons to fix the sin of Nebuchadnezzar's idol. That's something he saw. You understand? That's meta halachic. Well, they too believed, in their way, it was okay metaphysically to bow down to the king. At least according to Chassam Sofer, because Chassam Sofer said like this. They said, Madua atover eis mitzvahs hamelech. I'll say it again. Madua atover eis mitzvahs hamelech. Right? What do you mean? This is Chassam Sofer. Tochachtam hoiso shehoman olo le'udula b'gzeres ha'kadosh baruch hu malki sh'olom. The Haman rose to power in a crazy way. So that's obviously min hashamayim. Tzivoy hamelch sheishtachvu lo hoyse chelik magzera v'lo hevinu madu Mordechai inu mishtachvu lo. Now I'll say again. Madu
no one to hold, no one to fold.
Madu atover is mitzvah hamelch. Okay. So you see that the dispute with the Jews had to do with whether the Haman situation was yahard by yavar yavar by yahard. The others were not so bothered by the Avodah Zarah aspect. But Mordechai was. Right? I'm not even getting to the fact, as I'm sure you know, that according to Rabbi Shmuel, there's only the big two and not the big three. that Avodah Zarah is not actually a Hergal Yavar.
Right?
Okay. I'm sure you know. That's the Shita. Well, it's very famous.
Because you can have
it's very famous. Yeah, sure, Rabbi Shmuel holds the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel. Matter of fact, in the history world, Jacob Katz has a whole book on this, which is called Ritual Instinct. There's a Tosis in Avodah Zarah where the Gemara seems to be going like Rabbi Shmuel. That's okay in a case of force, Bitsina, to do Avodah Zarah. And Tosis said like this. It's a mashal over here that they're following Rabbi Shmuel. V'chas v'shalom shomer came. That's not a kash of Tosis. You know what I mean? Tosis should say like this. How can you say this? It says this here, this there. You know, what kind of b'shar is chas v'shalom shomer came? You see? And that's what we call ritual instinct. After the Crusades, you know, it's like unthinkable. Lord, you're crazy. You know? That you could say such a thing like that.
I'll prove you Avraham Avinu wore a yarmulke. It says Avraham. You think he went with Dal Amos out of Yamakah?
I know that, yeah, but I'm just telling what Kat says. Not me. I don't know if his final triumph, I don't know if the final triumph of Mordecai persuaded his critics that Mordecai had been right. Just because a miracle occurred and Jews triumphed doesn't prove that Halacha follows Mordecai and not the majority. Isn't that the case of Tana Shelach Noi?
Yeah.
Right? Where you could have supernatural events that seem to say Rabbi Lezer's right. But we all know the story. Exactly, Labba Shamayim, right? I can understand that the sages would not excommunicate Mordechai after the event, the way they did to Elazar ben Azariah. He never formally raised this question. Wait a second. Mordechai never actually raised this question about the Haman the way Elazar ben Hyrcanus raised the question about the Tanush Achnoim. Moreover, he was not a prime minister of Persia. And we
argue with him. Go ahead, argue.
No! We have a precedent in the Gemara that they wouldn't excommunicate somebody who was a high, big official. What am I thinking of?
Trump?
No. No. Yana
Tono Todos Ishromi.
Todos Ishromi? Okay.
Remember? No. Todos Ishromi, he was a big shot in Rome, and he ran the Jewish community over there, and he served Gedi Mokulis for Seder.
Post-tonight?
Right? He served a lamb.
Roasted,
no? Roasted lamb.
As if it was a carbon Pesach.
Like a carbon Pesach. And they, you know, notice, and they said, "Imoli todas ato." Mm-hmm. How's it go? I have it here somewhere. "Imoli todas ato," we would be menadi you. You know, we put you.
So
in
they said
Nidor
the same with Choni Amago as well. Right?
That's different. That's because God likes him. Yeah. But here they're saying you're a big shot. "Imoli todas ato," when it goes in alecha nidoy or something like that. So you see, you know, they weren't stupid. Let's put it that way.
Rabbi, you need to drink.
Here it is. I wrote it. Shalchule imoloto zato gozono lecha nidoy.
Please drink some more. You need to drink
okay.
more.
There's nothing left.
Please rectify that.
But the answer I would give why Mordechai was not a Zake Mamre is the following. Mordechai did not challenge the rule that Hum is a Yahargval Yavar. It was a Yavar Val Yahargi, not a Yahargval Yavar, because they said he's a Yavar Val Yahargi. They bowed down to him.
Drink.
Rather, he protested their cavalier attitude. That since it's okay, it's not a big deal. They did not feel such a bad thing. Especially according to Chassam Sofer, it was a good thing. Right? Mitzvah HaMelech. As God decreed it. It was this attitude that bothered Mordechai so dramatically and which he so dangerously opposed. If indeed they had to bow, okay, but they should feel guilty and depressed. Not comfortable and blasé.
So this is Haredi versus non-Haredi type
by
of
not bowing and provoking a firestorm and a miracle, but he provoked a firestorm, Mordechai demonstrated that heaven agreed with him. In other words, when it says Mordechai went, Melefnei HaMelech, Bilvush Malchus Chayez Bachur, who's the Melech?
Who the Melech?
Chaim. Right? He went out before God in splendid apparel. What does that mean? That you see from the miracle that heaven approved of his actions. You see? You have to know how to read it. So when he showed up by not bowing, and when it's heaven approved his attitude. This had an effect on the Jewish people, my friends. And they changed their attitude. In other words, this time, that's the meaning, I think, of the statement that Mordechai was misakin, the mitzvah, the sin of Shachal Letzelon. In other words, they no longer felt ho-hung in situations of Yahweh of Al-Yahard. Yes, there would be such times in the future, as part of our Golas, that Jews find themselves in situations they have to do this. But if you feel bad about it, you'll return to full mitzvah observance eventually. If you don't feel bad about it, you'll end up like the Spanish conversos. What happened to all the Jews who converted in Spain.
Assimilated.
They're gone.
They're gone. Some have come back in recent days.
Very, very few. You go to some Spanish towns or Portuguese guy now and say, 20 generations ago, your parents were Jewish. He wouldn't even believe you. He said, so what?
So what, right.
It doesn't mean anything, you understand? Because if you become comfortable with sinning and losing your Jewish identity, which is not what happened with Esther, this had an effect on the Jewish people, as I say. Esther, of course, is the same thing as far as Gila Raya is concerned. Instead of glorying in her position, she became a Yerach Rokes. You see? This attitude of Mordechai and Esther, that one feels bad, bad having to violate Jewish practice, even with such as the law, with Yavar Val Yahari, is a reflection of the feeling, obviously, that the law is something you want to do, not something you have to do.
Say again, please.
No. It's the attitude that one feels bad at having to violate Jewish practice, even when that's the din, right, is a reflection of the feeling that the Torah, the mitzvahs, is something you want to do, not something you have to do.
It's like having din on Yom Kippur because of
the no, it's how you feel. What do you call that? You don't call that kafalim harkigigis. You don't call forcing on people. Rather, you call it harder kiblu b'meach ha-shverish. Right? That's what it means, the attitude change. The change to the attitude was the big change, the tikkun, in the aftermath of Purim. And the effect of the attitude change even overflowed to the Goyim. Overflowed to the Goyim. Because it says like this, Simcha v'sason, listen to the juxtaposition. Simcha v'sason l'yudim, mishtev yom tov, v'rabi me'am aritz misyadim. The Jews felt great, and they said, for now we're going to take the mitzvah. And the Goyim said like this, wow. Instead of saying like this, damn it, I'm Jewish, can't watch TV Friday night. This. That's how I'm stuck. I'm just saying. That's what it is. So the guy said like this. Hey, man. The Jews said like this. Wow, this is great. The guy said like this. Wow, maybe it's something I'm going to do.
They also got a tax break.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So anyway, but again, Simcha v'sason Yehudim, Mishtev Yom Tov, Rabbi Me'amar, it's Mitzi Adim. Why is one after the other? Because post hoc, ego propter hoc, which we know is a sound rule of logic.
What?
It's a common rule of logic.
It's a proper rule of logic. In my dry toe.
Google translate.
You see, we never heard of that?
No.
Post hoc, since it comes after this propter hoc, it must be because of this.
It's
like hindsight. Work in statistics.
That's called logical fallacy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can't take anything for granted with this crowd. Anyway, everything I just said is spiritual. It looks at the Purim.
Wow.
It looks at the Purim story from a Ruchni's point of view. There's another side to the story, a political one, which unfortunately, my friends, is nogea nowadays, especially in light of current events. This has to do with the social meaning of Ishtachul Etzelim and Enemus Udosh Shal Achashverosh. Why did the Jews do it? If you think about it, there are two reasons, two gates of horrors. First, it was fear. That's natural, makes sense. Okay? That makes sense. The Jews did not want to antagonize the king, either Nebuchadnezzar or Achashverosh, first and second case. But the second reason was social political. They wanted to integrate in the Babylonian Persian empires, hoping that would get rid of the... they thought that if they don't stand out as nonconformists, if they go along on publication with everyone else, then they'll be considered full citizens of the empire. They'll have their own religious religious rituals, just as every other group in the empire did. But they're also part of the trans-religious polity and demonstrated on the rare occasions when every group drops its peculiarity and joins in a joint celebration. Even if the joint celebration has religious overtones. It's not exactly what happened on the two occasions of Ishtachul Etzelim and then Mitzvah Achashverosh. Look up the chapter in Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar wanted a golden statue, not instead of, but in addition to all the other religions. Right? He didn't say everybody has to drop their religion. It was not Antiochus. He said everybody can have their own, but I want to have one national one or imperial one that applies to everybody. In other words, you can be a full practicing Jew, just bow down once to the golden statue of Nebuchadnezzar. That way you show your loyal subjects of Babylonia, and then you enjoy all the benefits thereof. You're just like every other group. You can feel safe and secure in Golas Bavel. Same thing in Achashverosh's party. It was a trans-ethnic and transnational party. All groups were invited. Ostensibly, it's a secular occasion, not a religious one. So what's wrong with that? Indeed, it was this question, in my opinion, which led Chazal to come up with the whole story that you just said, that he was calculating the 70 years and based on Migdash, and he were to come and go, and he's throwing a party to celebrate the Jewish misfortune. It's not what it says, but the fact that they have that vart is to show you, like, talk of what was wrong with going to the king's party. Okay? None of this is in the Megillah. Indeed, elsewhere, the party is described as purely secular politics, appeasing the provinces. And then Shushan. First, it was Mephias, the one so far away, and then close. The debate is whether he was a Melech Tzipah or Chacham. But what's the problem with attending a party if it's a secular one, having a good... What's wrong with having a good time? What's wrong with that?
It's right? For years.
No, say again. If your company throws a party, let's say a holiday party, without calling it a Christmas party, and the food is kosher, all the rest of it, what is wrong with enjoying yourself?
Don't mesh with going.
One second. The answer, I think, is that more than being a sinner, it was delusional. Now I'm talking...
Say that again.
The answer, I think, is that more than being a sin, uh-huh, is delusional. I'm not talking from a ruchnius point of view. I'm talking from a political point of view, okay? The delusion was, if the Jews act patriotically, there will be no real anti-Semitism, they'll be safer.
Okay, that's right? No matter what.
The Purim story demonstrated to them at that time that they were wrong. Like it or not, to be in Gaulis means to live on the top of a volcano. Wherever you are, you're living on a volcano. Hopefully, the volcano is dormant. But it can explode at any time, preceded, of course, by rumblings. That's how volcanoes work, mm-hmm, okay? I don't have to explain the contemporary relevance of this. And the Purim story, although the Jews were at peace at the beginning of the Megillah, it's an illusion, right? Everything sounded great. There were lasos, kitsonish, v'ish, and all that. But you know what I know, the Gemara says, in Mali Igris Rishonos, lo nishtar mi Yisrael kolom. The Achashverosh is famous. Achashverosh sent out the first letter, Leo's Kalish Sora Beveso.
I'm a
Shogunah. Right? Umadabra Kushanama. No, it was this in the Middle East. Every man should be the boss in the house. And they said, what, is he crazy? Of course. This is the Middle East. You know? So they said like this, king must be a little nuts, therefore don't take all of his letters seriously. Because if he hadn't, and it was all part of the divine plan, because if he hadn't done that, if they would have sent out a letter, kill the Jews in 12 months, why wait 12 months?
Right?
Right? There wouldn't be nobody left. See, it wouldn't matter 3 days later with Haman getting killed. Or they'd all be dead by then. You see? In Mali Igris Rishonis, lo nishtar misonashi Yisrael klum. It's a euphemism.
Mm-hmm.
No, in other words, let's put it this way. Their neighbors, all the time, who they were at peace with, their neighbors were only restrained from violence against the Jews by fear of the authorities. On their own, they would tear the Jews apart if they were given the green light, which we've seen repeatedly in Jewish history. Okay? Knowing that divine providence arranged the death of Vashti in the stupid royal letter long before the Haman decree so as to restrain from perplexity their natural inclination and readiness to attack the Jewish neighbors. That's what that means. So in other words, this guy next to you who works with you in the business and all the rest of it, if given the green light, he'll kill you. Take your stuff. Realizing, as a few leftist Israelis have come to realize after October 7th, not many, but a few, that there was not really any cure for anti-Semitism, that going to royal parties and bowing to royal statues will not cure anti-Semitism and change the existential reality of living on a volcano, the Jews at the time of Purim saw the stark existential reality that Ein Lashon Elavin Shemayim, you got only one safe place. And therefore, they decided to follow the Mordechai paradigm after it was all over, particularly when Mordechai rose to the heights of power and was promoted by the Goyim to be prime minister. So you see, he wasn't the wrong one in knowing how to treat with the Goyim. Right? That's why the Megillah goes to all this great lengths to tell you how big Mordechai was and what a business is. One last point. Rashi says that Haman abolished all these. Right? Why does it say Simcha is Yontif and Yikar is tefillin, all that. What is that?
Bris Mila.
So it says, Haman Gazru al Kolelo. Right? Why would Haman decree against the Jewish practices? I mean, he was going to kill him. Let him keep Shabbos for another few weeks. You know, what is that?
Who says that Haman abolishes?
Rashi, in the Gemara.
He knew it would weaken us.
Rashi
huh?
He knew it would weaken us.
What weakness? You're going to be dead soon. Why weaken?
Because he wanted to kill us on a spiritual front.
Okay, if you go like that, but the plain meaning is he didn't want to kill
them.
He hated the Jews.
Yeah, soften them up, make it easier to kill them. They wouldn't fight back. They're so depressed from...
Okay, if you want to go like that. I don't. He's a woman. As far as I can tell, and I just wrote this morning, Rashi reflects...
And he was sober then.
Rashi, that I just told you, reflects a reading of the phrase Lahashmi Lar Galabe. Why does the Torah say Lahashmi Lar Galabe? It's redundant, right?
Right.
Unless you say Lahashmi means this, Lahari means that, Labe means that. So I think it means the following. I think Rashi in that school of thought learned it the following way. Haman planned to end the Jews, not necessarily by killing. If many convert and assimilate into their new identities, as happened in Spain, right, then they're not Jews, regardless of biology. You see? So Lahashmi
didn't say that.
Hitler
didn't say that.
Who didn't say
Hitler.
It?
No.
That's correct. No, he's not identical with Hitler. That's right. You're exactly right. Don't say it because Hitler is coming from the 19th, 20th century. There's a thing called biology and race, and everybody's different, and Italians are different than Greeks, and all that kind of stuff.
Are you saying that Hitler was worse than Haman?
That's him. Hold on.
Hitler was a Darwinist.
Hold on for a second.
Evolution.
This is mashma, at least to me. If many convert and assimilate to new identities, like in Spain, they're not Jews, regardless of biology. So Lahashmi means shmad. Okay? Laharog means to kill the refusers to convert.
Okay.
How are we going to take care of this thing? Lahashmi laharog, and the sum total will be labe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You see? Lahashmi, lahashmi, those who will. Laharog, those who won't. Labe, and then finish the whole business. You understand? In other words, between the first two, there will be ibud. Either lahashmi or laharog. Because I'll say it again, not only in Spain, but that's the most famous case. There's a ton of people in Eastern Europe. Go back to the Chmelnytsky thing, they're Jewish, biologically. It don't mean nothing. I'll bet you money that some of them were concentration camp guards. You get it? Yeah, no. You see? In other words, between the first two would be Ehud. So Haman wasn't exactly like Hitler. It's more like Torquemada. Now, well,
Torquemada was only for the conversos. He didn't bother the regulars.
But they kicked him out. Right.
Because they felt that they couldn't.
Because he felt if you get rid of the Jew, if you change their identity, you got rid of them.
Then the conversos will not have anything to fall.
So, my friends, I leave you with the following charge. If you're a classic Italian darshan from the 15, 1600s, right? I'm serious now. Then your job tonight at your Purim Suda in your house is to show, I just showed you, Lahashmi, Laharog, Labay. And we're told later on in the Megillah, how did they deal with their enemies?
The same
way. Makas Cherev, Vehereg, Vavdon. There's also three redundant phrases. Now your job, Leona Mudna Jr., is to show, how does Lahashmi, Laharog, Labay correspond to Cherev, Vehereg, Vavdon? If you can do that, then you're in a good business. A good important to everybody.
Time. I'll bet the Torquemada probably had some Jewish blood in him.
They say that, but we don't know. I don't know if it's true. I've heard that. But I don't know if it's true. But it wouldn't matter, would it? That's the point. Wouldn't matter.
What about the people that hiding Judaism? How can you take care about that?
Who said there were people hiding Judaism?
I'm saying, I'll be Jewish in my basement and I'll be a guy outside.
First of all, there was very little of that in Spain, contrary to popular belief. And second of all, Haman figured I can take care of them. If you be like that, we'll kill you.
He'll find them.
Yeah, which is what the Catholics did. What's the Inquisition? See, you find me?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidavidkatz.com.